How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I am George Knapp, listening to That UFO Podcast and having one hell of a good time.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. Lucky you, it's a follow-on from the breakdown earlier in the week, and joining me to discuss some news stories and answer some questions, I've got Dan. Dan, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be back, and much less of a gap than, you know, I left last time.
Absolutely. In the last week, have you done any Graham Hancock bashing, which people seem to really not appreciate on YouTube? Like three or four people were happy with your, I imagine, Graham Hancock fans, Dan. You've shared that opinion before on Graham Hancock. I don't really have one either way.
I mean, you know, I love his work. He's great on ramp for things, but there's a lot that he gets wrong. And, you know, he drives people to research more, and that's a good thing. So, you know, anyone out there, don't think I'm just crapping on him for the sake of it. You know, you usually get the typical, like, you think Graham Hancock's a racist? That's the go-to line. And just for anyone wondering, no, I don't.
Anyway, thanks, everyone. Thanks for your time this week. But no, listen, Dan, there was a lot of comments. I thought, I'm really lazy with this at times, where people comment on different platforms when I post any episode. And I end up thinking, do you know what? I either don't get back to people or miss really good points and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, there's some stuff there I could pull out that would be quite interesting to talk about. So why not get Dan back on, given it was us speaking about it in the first place? And there is some new news as well, Dan, over the last few days. I think a good place to start before we get to listener questions is a statement from UAP whistleblower David Grush, which I believe is his full legal name. From Eric Burleson hiring him to be on his staff. We talked about this last time, so I'll just read the statement, Dan. He says, this is David Grush. I'm both immensely humbled and deeply honoured to join Congressman Burleson and his amazing team of professionals in pushing for government transparency, said Grush. The public is rightfully demanding to know the truth, and it is my true privilege for me to serve the people of this country once again. I will use all my expertise to support Representative Burleson and help the US Congress restore full oversight while enabling the legislative branch's ability to investigate and hold those accountable who have broken the law and lied not only to our Congress but also to the Executive Office of the President, Director of National Intelligence and Department of Justice. So David Grush coming out, just having a little bit of a say-so on him joining that staff. It's kind of split opinion, Dan. What was your take again on Grush joining in with the declassification task force and being part of that?
In a nutshell, that it was a good thing, but it remains to be seen whether he can be effective or whether he's being brought in to be kind of controlled. We'll see. One of the conditions of that was whether they get him into a skiff, and we actually got a little news on that today, right?
Yes. Listen, just before we get that, hold that thought. I asked some folks on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, believe it or not, earlier today, did Grush joining in with this make a difference to them? Does it change how they've... Actually, I'll tell you how I worded it, because I got slated for that off someone, quite rightly so. So I shared the tweet that I've just read right and said, does this change the chance that Congress has to get this really moving for you? Now, reading it back, I'm like, that isn't the best grammar on the planet. I'm not known for grammar and spelling. But basically, you know, with Grush on board, does this give Congress a power up? Because it felt they were flagging a little bit in terms of what they were actually able to do or going to do. But fair play, some of them at least seem to be sticking in with this thing, don't they? Either that or they're completely in on the PSYOP, Dan, and dragging Grush down to hell with them. But people said, here's some comments for you. Thomas says, let's not forget this administration is the most transparent we've ever seen. I don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but I'll take it at face value. Karen Alexander said one could only hope. Christian Morales, Christian said it's always an effort to make Congress take this seriously, an effort to make science take this seriously, an effort to make mainstream media take this seriously. Progress has been made, but not quite there and not quite sure what will break the secrecy. Melanie said hope springs eternal. Sneaky Dave said no, they will muzzle Grush. You alluded to that, Dan. You know, are they just there to kind of control them? Big Boss, great name, said my uninformed speculation, Andy, is that bringing Grush on as a staffer will allow his security clearance to be restored, meaning that they can finally get him into a skiff, circumventing the blocks from the Department of Defense. There was Attitude of Aggression said the best we can hope is this makes a difference, and they've used the don't give me hope meme from Avengers, Dan, which you'll appreciate. We got a few we shall sees. I think it may be a UFO base or BAS, you know, UFO base, sorry, said, I think it may be an increment. It may be an incremental move in the right direction. Will it be the one move needed for the dam to break? Probably not. But each incremental nudge against the dam causes it to move a little more. And one day the nudge will be the nudge that's required. And a few other comments within there as well. So kind of mixed feelings on that. But I think that's just the overall vibe in the UFO topic just now from most people. It's very up and down.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. This topic has just, like we said, it's gotten very muddy, and some people who were on the fence have decided to just get on with their lives and check back in time to see what's going on. Other people are kind of hanging on but getting angry about it, whereas some people are very hopeful. It's just a glass half full thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because there's people get in touch with me who are quite new to the UFO topic and they're quite excited about where things are. I think it's people who have been really ingrained in the topic over, say, 5, 6, 7 years that maybe weren't around. I can't speak for everyone here, but I get the sense that maybe they weren't around much earlier than that. Perhaps they haven't had substantial encounters, experiences themselves. So they came in at a time it looked really hopeful. And it almost is a little bit like, remember South Park had that episode about chasing the dragon, which is like the heroin euphemism, yeah? Yeah? It was a little bit like, we've always got the dragon being dangled in front of us. You've almost got it. And I think that's frustrated quite a lot of those folks. But like you say, if folks need time to check out, tap out and come back, I see this year still having a lot of movement in it and a lot of potential. Not that that isn't potential to go absolutely tits up, but I think there's some potential there. Dan, you mentioned, do you want to just talk about that skiff? Because I think that comes in here nicely.
Yeah, I think this is something that kind of feels like potential recognized. Obviously, it depends on the outcome of that skiff meeting, But Matt Laszlo of Askapol today reported an exclusive that, speaking to Representative Eric Burleson, he's found out that they've actually scheduled a skiff briefing with David Grush, Lou Elizondo, Christopher Mellon, and Arrow for the end of April, which is interesting. I imagine that could potentially turn into a big slanging fight whilst inside the skiff. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, but hopefully if John Koslowski of Arrow, the new guy in charge, if he's a bit more open-minded and a bit less obfuscating than Kirkpatrick was, then maybe there'll be some movement there. I don't really know why Christopher Mellon is there, but I'd sure like to know. Because he seems someone that was pulled into the circle of people that worked on UFO stuff. So almost like a secondhand kind of witness. Whereas Lou, he's worked on this stuff. Grush, very deep in this stuff. So there's kind of an odd one out there for me.
So Mellon being there, I get what you mean. You feel he's more of he's been brought in, but he's obviously very well connected, powerful family. He must be a great guy. Am I not missing something? Was it Lou Elizondo's book? They are trying to get clearances for something or access to something. And is it not Mellon that manages to get something within like a day or two that was meant to take months?
Oh, that was when Mellon came to talk to the guys at ATIP. And they were like, sorry, we can't talk to you unless you have XYZ tickets to...
And he got it.
And then he went away, and within 24 hours, he came back and they were like, I still can't talk to you. And he was like, these are the tickets you were looking for.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate UFO ticket to any event you want tickets to. Chris Mellon can get you to courtside, yeah, ringside, stage side, whatever you want. Backstage access, he's got them. But yeah, I'm quite happy to see that. Chris Mellon, I think, has always been a little bit enigmatic in the sense he's never been overexposed. He's always been very straight talking, very serious guy. Again, if people don't know about the Chris, about the Mellon family, go look up who they are and what their involvement is just in the beginnings of America as a country and the level of influence that family name carries. And then Chris Mellon's positions in government and the people he will know. So I've always looked at Mellon as one of those guys where this isn't about money for him, because he does not need money. He does not need a couple of $1,000 or even if something is earning millions of dollars, he doesn't need those couple of millions to add to his bank balance. So he's not doing it for money. So his involvement's, yeah, always been quite a positive thing for me. Not that there might be power stuff there and everything else, but and he's made some pretty wild statements in his time as well on the topic, which I've always appreciated. Someone of his ilk kind of being comfortable talking about what he has in the past. So I'm quite happy to see Mellon in there. Are you generally quite happy with that as a meeting, as a setup? Like,
yeah, I mean, in one way I wish they were all in separate skiffs, because each of them is probably going to have a lawyer present with them. You know, they say that in any given skiff there's more lawyers than people that are actually there to talk, but I wonder how much can get done when they're all kind of talking across each other. You know, I kind of see it as two teams there, Grush, Elizondo, Mellon, and like versus Arrow. But I'm thinking of Arrow as his reputation has become established, like the Kirkpatrick years. Kozlowski might be a lot more on side behind closed doors and be a bit more willing to talk. So I guess we'll see.
But that's what I'm just wondering out loud. What is the purpose of Arrow being in there? Because for me, Arrow are the odd one out.
Yeah, for sure. I can totally see where you're coming from there. You know, again, based on that briefing that Arrow gave Gillibrand back, was it late last year now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They didn't seem like they were willing to talk openly about this whatsoever. But then in the media briefing that Arrow gave, that John Kozlowski gave, he was a bit more open about the unknowns. So
it's been almost a year, hasn't it? He's been in that role as well. So he's had his feet under the table.
Yeah. We just haven't seen him kind of produce much yet. You know, the part two of the historical report was meant to come out by now. It hasn't. So in one way, that's good, because it means that his fingerprints are going to be on it more. Therefore, it might be a bit better and a bit more detail-oriented than the part one was. But then again, maybe it's just obfuscation again. You know, they really have to earn that trust this time.
Yeah. On the situation of where the UFO topic is, had you seen the Wall Street Journal had written some articles, you know, based off of Age of Disclosure? There were some reviews came out, and there were some negative reviews, some positive reviews, some in the middle, as you would expect. But the Wall Street Journal, they have written some articles talking about the 60 Minutes piece. In one of these articles, they refer to David Grush as a mental patient.
That's below the belt, I think.
I mean, absolutely, but that seems quite deliberate and targeted, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't
really
want to
does.
Jump straight into the these are deliberate, targeted pieces to downplay the topic, but I was listening to Weaponized earlier, and Corbell and Knapp were talking about it, and Jeremy Corbell made a point, and I get what he was trying to say, but I slightly disagree. He was sort of talking, and I should have made a note on this, he was talking around articles like that, only stoking the fire and getting people intrigued and interested, and I'm like, but there are people who will read that, only see that for UFO news, and they will make up their mind based on, oh, this guy's nuts. It yeah. won't matter that he's not a mental patient. It says it in black and white. We all know what social media even is like these days. You just, people, and I'm guilty of this as well, people will read a headline but not click on the article itself, and then the article says the detail that you probably need. And that's just modern day, but yeah, that seems pretty targeted to me. So I'm kind of hopeful that these things are happening because there's still progress being made. And maybe some people are a bit spooked by the whole situation. and don't want certain things coming out or progressing as much? Am I being too positive there, Dan?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a fair assessment of kind of where we are and what we've been told. Things might be different in reality from what we've been told is going on behind the scenes, but you know, we've heard from Ross Coulthart, for example, that they know the names of the program runners and that they should be kind of quaking in their boots and eventually their names will be released. So there's going to be assuming that's true, there's going to be a response to that. And things like placing articles in the Wall Street Journal is going to take place. And even if it's not something akin to Project Mockingbird, which was the CIA kind of controlling media outlets and then telling them to put certain things out, there's still a chance that the stigma is unfairly kind of playing into people's opinions. So that writer, completely in a bubble, completely uninfluenced, could have just gone, David Grush is a mental patient. Just because that's his opinion based on other things that he's read that have kind of pushed the same angle, like Ken Klippenstein's piece and so on and so forth. It's unfair, but it's just the way the world works. And now with this classification task force, the hope is that Grush can kind of blow through those kind of things and say, look, you know, you're not looking at my mental health history anymore. You're looking at evidence that's objective, that's outside of me, that and you're going to be talking to people that aren't affected by Grush's mental health history. So it's just a case of, it's almost pushing a rock up a hill, but you got to keep pushing, you know. And to what Jeremy was saying, the people who believe, you know, in this and think there's something to come out, they're going to be, their fire is going to be stoked to push harder than ever. The people that aren't really invested, I agree with you, they'll just kind of tap out when they hear things like that.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On that new UFO movie, Dan, I know you've got some Tom DeLonge news as well. Don't know if this ties in any way because I haven't seen the Tom DeLonge stuff. But Apple officially lands UFO Disclosure Project from Joseph Kaczynski and Jerry Bruckheimer. So we all know the Steven Spielberg Disclosure movie, which is its current title. That could change. It may be Disclosure. Is due for release next summer, 2026?
Yeah, I think that's right. Unless it gets put back, yeah.
Yeah, in case Disclosure gets put back, literally they could move Disclosure back, or they could bring Disclosure forward, which I'm sure a lot of folks would be happy about. But that's a big name, that's a big studio with a big budget. Spielberg does not do cheap movies. So that has got people talking and excited for what it might contain. So that's one. I always remember Cloverfield being one of the first real viral marketed movies, because people were really starting to get used to social media and how those would work and a lot of stuff around Cloverfield coming out. I would love to see something similar with a Disclosure or Spielberg's project and really take advantage of, there's a lot of content out there online, a lot of clips, you know, a lot of UFO sightings, footage. There's people like Lou Elizondo, Chris Mellon, you know, Ratcliffe, Rubio, all talking about the UFO topic. Use that stuff to really drum up interest, and you know, that just kind of helps all around. Another project though has been announced, like I mentioned, Dan, that is Apple original film. It's going to go to cinema, then on to Apple. Not a lot of details around it just now, but it just says to be written by Academy Award nominee Zach Bailyn, the untitled thriller will explore disclosure around UAPs, formerly known as UFOs. I love that. That gives you a level of knowledge right there. The film will be produced by Bruckheimer and Chad Oman for Jerry Bruckheimer Films. David Grush will serve as a consultant and associate producer on the project. That's all the details in a minute, Dan. Thoughts on that then? Spielberg movie and another big production coming?
Yeah, loved your idea on the marketing for the Spielberg movie. Cloverfield was really the first one that did it, like full on. embrace the modern day. And then the other one that comes to mind is Blair Witch, and how they kind of put out footage. And really, when that film came out, because social media wasn't a thing, people were questioning whether it was real or whether it wasn't. And that was the whole thing, that you sat down at the cinema thinking there's a chance that that could be real, and they could really kind of go for it with this kind of thing. And to that end, I remember in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, there are a lot of cases in that that were real cases that they wrote into the scripts in a really organic way. It would be really cool if they did a similar thing. And we saw people like Grush or Lou interviewed in, you know, just kind of like little clips on the news or something like that, just to give it an air of authenticity, you know. That'd be very cool. Jerry Bruckheimer, really excited for that movie. I've read that they're kind of debating a courtroom drama type thing, so think All the President's Men, but with UFO disclosure. That'd be really cool, and I'm fairly sure we've said something along that line would be really cool on here, so they might have stolen the idea off us. In which case, they, I guess, you know, they owe us a few million. But Apple has money coming out of its ears. It can't spend fast enough. So money isn't going to be a problem for this movie. Jerry Bruckheimer was the guy who produced Phoenix Forgotten as well, which we spoke about in the last breakdown as well. So interesting. This is his second UFO movie, technically. So it'll be really exciting. The Apple did a series called Invasion. Did you watch that?
Is this not the one I started watching, but then got, did they kill kids in it early on? And that puts me off.
I think that was the War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
adaptation.
War of the Worlds. When,
where it got really heavy in the first episode.
Full disclosure, folks. Whenever they're like, because I'm a parent now and kids are in stuff and get killed, really puts me off. And spoiler alert for the War of the Worlds TV series, I was really enjoying it. But after like the second or third episode, I saw dead children. I was like, I can't watch that. So
yeah, they went a bit too graphic with it.
The bunker, I'm sure, when the little robots break into the bunker. And
that's it.
Politician woman, like, I was like, nah.
Yeah, you were done at that point.
And listen, I get, like, I watch Independence Day, right? And you know when, like, they blow up the White House, and spoiler alert, folks, but it's been nearly 30 years. But you know when they blow up the White House
the
and
Empire State
Building, and stuff like that. I know they are killing men, women, and children. I know they are killing everyone, pets, with that explosion. I don't see it, though, but then when you see, like, the bodies of dead children and some of that stuff, it just really puts me off. But anyway,
it's a little different, isn't it? It's how you do those things. Like, it was the same when I watched Three Body Problem and, you know, the wires going through the ship, and it really hammed it up and showed you, like, all the gore and everything like that, and the book just doesn't do that. You know, it's very matter of fact about it, so I just rolled my eyes and turned it off for that reason and thought, Andy's not going to like this, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I like the Three Body Problem, though. The Chinese
one. It was
one.
All right.
The Netflix
one. Yeah, the Chinese one was stronger. The Chinese one was too long. The Netflix one was too short. Something in between, I think, would be better. But excited for season two, which should be next year as well. Or this year? I forget. This year,
I'm not sure. I need to look it up. But yeah, so new UFO movie coming. On the spot with this one, Dan, is this Hollywood helping prepare the mass public for disclosure, or is it just them jumping on a trend? But I'm always wary of that, because it might be a trend now or last year. It was more of a trend in 2013. Are they expecting that trend to come back? Do you get what I mean? Like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was like a hot button topic more than it is this year.
Yeah.
I think, if we're seeing, you know, Super Bowl ads with UFOs in them, then it's kind of, you know, on the tip of the tongue of people. Yeah. So they're primed to see it. It could be something that's happening. I doubt it, only because, you know, my gut says that Spielberg has made a film before. He wasn't paid by the government to do it. But it happened to include a whole bunch of things that was, it happened to include a whole bunch of things that were genuine, because he put the time into research to consult with, you know, Valet and stuff like that. So there's, I guess maybe there's a middle ground between those two things. And it only takes, you know, a government employee going into a bar where Spielberg is having a drink after dinner and just kind of going, what do you think of this kind of thing? And for Spielberg to go, maybe I'll put that in my movie. And it's less dramatic than what people imagine when they think that the government is paying Spielberg to make a movie, but a bit more than just Spielberg deciding, oh, this is popular, I'm going to make this movie. Yeah. I think that's probably where we end up with it.
Tom DeLonge news, Dan. I've not even seen or heard this yet, so do you want to bring this in?
Yeah, so Tom DeLonge, and bear in mind that every member of Blink-182 is guilty of saying things coming soon, and they just don't happen for years, if at all. So a bit of a pinch of salt. Tom posted to Instagram, you know, they're off tour now, so they're all kind of taking a year off, just playing some festivals. And Tom posted, "Today I am working on some cool shit. To the Stars has projects with Netflix, Sony, Tubi, and Legendary. And we have amazing projects in development with the writers of Band of Brothers, Sleepy Hollow, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Generation. Not to mention a secret feature I'm directing this year based off one of our novels that is soon to be released. So, lots of cool stuff. Quietly building dreams over here. Thanks for your patience to all our investors. It's going well." So, these projects, any guesses what they could be?
Well, Secret Machines, we know, was Legendary took up the rights.
That's right,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They announced that on their shareholder thing, didn't they, a year or two ago? So I'd like to see that series come out, because that's got Netflix written all over it.
Yeah, it does. I think they Tom's mentioned before that they were kind of going for Band of Brothers writers on that as well. So
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
That would be great.
Quite gritty, down to earth, like, and even like you can take a Secret Machines, and I won't give any spoilers away here, and you can do a really gritty, down to earth, realistic thriller where the UFO story in large parts is just there in the background and just ticks along, but you've got all these elements playing out in front of you. A little bit like Love Actually, but with UFOs, you know, where all the stories come together.
Like, yeah. Let's just make sure we get Bill Nighy in there singing a cool UFO song too.
Or I could have said probably Crash there, couldn't I? That's probably more like Don Cheadle.
Oh yeah, you know? Sure.
Yeah, it's probably more like down to earth and gritty. But yeah, no, I'm excited for that. Novel, would that be the Trinity novel? AJ Hartley maybe?
Well, it says one of our novels that is soon to be released. So I'm taking it as a novel that hasn't come out yet.
Not came out yet? Okay.
So I guess the only one on deck for that is Secret Machines Part 3.
So they wouldn't be making a feature, though, would they, if they've got the TV,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, TV show. And yeah. And so the only thing I can think that Tom has said that he's making a movie of as soon as he could was a baseball movie. So maybe there's a baseball book kind of coming out in the near future. But I mean, you say that, but so there was a really cool episode of The X-Files that I forget what season it was. It was kind of late in the game, and David Duchovny, the guy who plays Mulder, directed it. And it was all about an alien that came to Earth, fell in love with baseball, and stayed here disguised as a baseball player. So it could still have a UFO aspect to it if it went for something like that. But I mean, it can't just copy that episode, right?
Yeah, no, true. But yeah, a lot of media picking up on this stuff, and like I say, it's very easy to say, and I'm not jumping on the fence either way here or off the fence, but like they're just following a trend, because to make a movie takes a couple of years and release it and distribute it. The trend is gone, so it's no longer trendy, and cinema's not in the greatest place right now. So, you know, they have to kind of pick their battles wisely. So it's interesting to see a few big UFO topics coming out. And I do look forward to Secret Machines getting a good distribution deal, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Because that, I mean, what I love about Secret Machines is that there are genuinely things in there that are real. And when I talk to people about those novels and they say, well, what kind of things in there are real? And I bring up, the name escapes me now. Goddamn. It's on the tip of my tongue, where they brought out over the Nazis, Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
As something real, people go, is that real though? And I'm like, yeah, they're, you know, this is an acknowledged part of history. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is just something that folds into the whole UFO thing because of Oppenheimer and UFOs and nukes and stuff like that. So it's important to the story. But things like that will make people Google these kind of terms to see if they're real, and there's just a bit more education about the subject in general and its history disseminating to the population from stuff like that. So I really hope that gets going soon. And everyone loved Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code and stuff like that, and this could be that, but for UFOs, as long as the Secret Machines isn't the project that the Always Sunny in Philadelphia writers are writing.
I am looking forward to the new series of Always Sunny coming out.
It's going to be great.
The final episode of the last series is one of the greatest things I've ever watched. Dennis taking a day for himself, you know, the cam day.
This was the one of him just getting frustrated with everything as the day goes.
So good. So good. Just it's cinema, folks. Absolute cinema.
I still think the last episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia should just be deadly serious. And the gang finds out that Dennis is a serial killer. And he just gets arrested and just and play it seriously. Yeah. It would be the funniest thing.
Yeah. No, I could see them doing something like that. Sorry, folks, for the Always Sunny chat. Listener questions, Dan?
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, let's go.
I've picked a few out, folks. So I found this one interesting from Kate. So Kate said, can we talk more about orb sightings? I've been experiencing and filming them here in coastal North Carolina for months. I've also seen them on Carolina Beach a few years ago. Many other locals have seen the same thing, golden fiery orbs that appear and disappear and move slowly and make no sound. I saw one up close and witnessed it travel over a mile towards me, and then it disappeared right in front of my eyes at an altitude of about 400 feet and 250 yards in front of me, just my rough estimate. But close enough that I saw it completely disappear and heard nothing. It was unlike anything I had ever seen. I've heard coverage about these, but not much about my area, and there are very sensitive military and ammunition bases near where I am, Fort Liberty and Fayetteville being one, and that's the direction I see them nowadays. Chris Bledsoe also lives near there and sees the same things. We also have Military Ocean Terminal Sunny Point here, which is near North Carolina Beach, or near Carolina Beach, where I had my first sighting. And that is the nation's largest ocean terminal for military munitions. Also, there is Brunswick Nuclear Plant nearby. So I'm wondering, why is there a lack of reporting on the sightings here near so many highly sensitive military installations? And I've seen a lot more military air traffic lately. Just saying there's a lot going on. So if you could find a guest to expand on that, that would be awesome. And she's also uploading some stuff on her channel as well. If you can get us a link to that, Kate, if you hear this, that would be great. Thank you. But yeah, Dan, orb sightings, you know, I'll drop my usual shtick of I'm very wary of a lot of orb stuff, but that's just a lot of the videos I see of people's ring doorbells, dust going by, all that kind of stuff. There are some genuine orb sightings and orb stories and testimony out there. What's your take on the lack of reporting on that sort of phenomenon?
So the lack of reporting, I feel, comes from it just kind of being a bit too far past the nuts and bolts conversation for the media to engage in. You know, the media has enough trouble engaging in the nuts and bolts side of this thing to go to then to orbs, intelligent kind of lights in the sky that seem to have no structure.
But is a light in the sky a light in the sky then to the media? I saw an orb, I saw a UFO. It doesn't matter. You saw a light in the sky. So,
yeah, UFO, exactly.
UFO type thing.
Until someone takes a picture or video of one of these things really close up, you know, with their friend like walking in circles around it to prove that it's, you know, not just a trick or a spider on a door cam or whatever, nothing's really going to make waves. But it's interesting that she says they're in North Carolina because, you know, you have the Brown Mountain Lights there. And I had the pleasure of going there and seeing the Brown Mountain Lights, filming them. So I know they're real. And it blew my mind that there's a plaque at one of the lookout points that kind of explains the phenomena of the Brown Mountain Lights and say that scientists tried to study it, couldn't figure out what it was. And that's it. There's no follow-up. I was just like, really? Like you tried, you couldn't figure it out, and that's it. So mystery just is there ongoing and they just can't be asked anymore. Just baffling, you know, like Hestalen, it's a live UFO laboratory that you could set up some sensor stations in and actually study this stuff. I'd be surprised if Avi Loeb doesn't have a station kind of set up at the Brown Mountain. A lot of people kind of say with these things that, oh, it's just ball lightning, as if we understand ball lightning. We don't. We can only replicate it in labs to the extent where it lasts, you know, milliseconds, if not 1 to 2 seconds, not these sustained kind of balls that look like they're playing together or, you know, acting with intelligence, doing right angle turns, that kind of stuff. So that doesn't kind of scratch the itch for me, you know. It's ball lightning.
Can I say something, right? I love how over the years, like, slowly, Dan, this has become like a thing for you and a real hot button topic that and I don't mean this flippantly, right? But you know when you say the way you talk about people talking about ball lightning, I feel a lot less people talk about it that way than you make out. But it really annoys you, the few that do. It seems like it's one of those real, like, one person said it once and you're always having a dig at that one person passive aggressively.
I'd agree. But the one person saying it is like the qualified person, you know, the scientist that kind of speaks about it.
It's like Peter and Family Guy feeding the beans to the TV. Who hurt you? Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. I just want it to be studied because there are, you know, between Hess Darlan, between the Brown Mountain Lights, between what we filmed in Colombia, you know, this is stuff that I've had firsthand repeated experience with in places where this repeatedly happens. So, you know, science says that you need repeatability to actually be able to study something. Yeah. And here it is, and there's nobody studying it, you know?
Well, is it just not sexy enough, though, then? Because it's not, like, if you can't get people to go and study huge tic-tacs out over the ocean and military bases and, you know, triangular craft and all these kind of things, it's almost just like it's just a light. And I know it's not. I get, you know, we've spoken enough about it and I've watched the documentaries and whatnot, but for a lot of folks it's really, really down the rung and down the ladder of what's to be studied.
Yeah, I mean I think that's true. You know you look at Hess Darlan and those guys that engage that study, they kind of had to call it something else, right? They called it light phenomena and stuff like that. They had to almost weasel the funds out of the scientific community and sponsors to be able to study it, and they try to avoid saying the word UFO when they're talking about what they're studying, even though this is exactly what it is. So I think stigma has a lot to do with it, and it's unfortunate because I think it's one of the most, like I say, because it's reproducible, it happens consistently at these places. It's unfortunate that it's not studied because it's probably one of the topics in the UFO field where you could actually go out and study it properly and scientifically. You know, Chris Bledsoe posts enough about these things kind of happening in his garden and stuff like that. And I understand that people have gone to try and study this, and between, you know, the stigma that the Bledsoe family have kind of had to endure, they're no longer willing to kind of entertain people that show up and have any doubt, which, you know, I understand that emotional journey. That's fine. But it's just unfortunate.
And it's also their family home. And that's not even going into the whole argument of he has posted the space station flying by quite recently and everything else. But there are some interesting videos. There are some uninteresting videos. Quite regular recently, almost nightly, I've seen lights in the sky that I could post online and I could claim it's a UFO. It's almost definitely a satellite. The space station goes, I can always tell the space station because it's a bit brighter, a bit bigger, seems to almost move a little bit slower than a satellite. And I like to usually, I'll Google, when can I see the space station? And within seconds, I'll see it's due over London at 7:22 p.m. on this day.
Yeah.
And I'll look and go, it's 7:24 p.m. It's the space station from where I'm based. But yeah, so I see a lot of lights in the sky. Unless they move or arc or stop or something, then it's a satellite for me. And I wouldn't kind of go much more than that. But in terms of the orb phenomena, Dan, we've not probably talked about this for a while, to be fair, if at all. We not will have at some point. What do you think the orb phenomenon is? And when it comes to, you've got UFO, the spider diagram of ufology, you have flying saucers, triangles, little green men on Mars, blah, 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 blah. Where do orbs fit into all of this?
So for me, the orb stuff, it splits between, one, a natural phenomena that we could probably tap for energy if we understood the processes that are happening in said natural phenomena, and two, possibly a form of kind of plasma-based life that is rare and only occupies certain areas. That, to some people, doesn't constitute, you know, a UFO, because they think of UFOs as spinning discs and things like that. But for me, it's part and parcel of the mystery that we need to figure out. And to figure that out would mean we could take it out of the pile. And it's not like it would be incredible, right? If we found a life form that's made entirely of plasma, but just has personality, like that would change a lot and give a lot of opportunity.
I suppose I'm at a place with the orb stuff where the genuine ones, they seem to be some kind of surveillance mechanism, perhaps, you know?
Yeah, there's a curiosity to them.
Yeah, like a drone, it's there checking stuff out. Do you send them out in advance of something else? Or is this what another dimensional entity's drone would look like? Let's send this through first. We've got the pigeons that are actually CCTV. They've got the orbs. So that's where I kind of sit with them. And like I say, that I know there are some genuine orb stuff out there. But there's a lot of nonsense.
And we got a little more out there in the last breakdown episode as well, with the idea that is an orb, what an out-of-body consciousness looks like. So if someone's remote viewing at the place where they're remote viewing, that kind of what the people there see?
Dan, next question from Reese. At around the timestamp on the last episode, you look at the summoning of lights in the sky through a kind of matrix lens, whereby you said it's like you're the avatar summoning the real player, and that doing so isn't something we should be allowed or supposed to be doing. But if that's the case, and assuming psionic summoning of UAP is explainable through advanced physics, then why would the ability to actually summon the real you or real player encoded into the gate? I'm doing the thing too much with my fingers. Into the game or reality is something that's possible if we're not supposed to do it. So basically, why are we able to do this at all if we're not supposed to be able to do it? And Reese said, just playing with the ideas here, quite like the train of thinking. So Dan, yeah, on that, we talked about that kind of stuff in the last episode, like you say, so good place to bring it in. Why do you think, if it was the case, we're summoning some type of collective or connected consciousness or soul, why can we do it at all?
I think there are probably three, I mean, probably more, but right now I can think of like three reasons. One, that it's a much more natural ability than we think. So it's not that we're not allowed, it's just that we can do it and we've never really exercised this kind of ability that we have. Two, maybe it's kind of, you know, Jack Vallée talks about a kind of control mechanism, and John Keel talks about the UFO phenomena as a kind of like a teacher to kind of coax us with curiosity forward along a certain path, like a technological path. So maybe it's that by doing that, it kind of lets us understand that we can do something, or that there's something more out there in the universe, and we move towards it as a result, kind of changing society as we go. And then the third one, only because, you know, you mentioned the Matrix there, I would say, you know, in computer games, people do stuff that they're not meant to be able to do all the time. You know, there are bugs, there are cheat codes. So maybe it's something like that.
Do you think, this is a yes or no question, like an actual yes or no
I'll
question,
try.
Dan. Just write down in a bit of paper yes and no, and then just look at one, right? Do you think everyone can do this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So do you think we're all born with the ability to do this then naturally? And that some people kind of cultivate it, others don't? Or see, I don't know if we can all do it. And is it a case that you're kind of, if you're put here, you're almost like assigned, you know, like a moderator, or, you know, you're an editor, or you're just like a fucking NPC, non-playable character, folks, you know, like you've kind of got roles that you don't always necessarily live up to or discover. I don't know if it's maybe more like that, or maybe just the case that through things that happen in your life, your role changes. And maybe that, for example, near death experience, you suddenly are able to do something you couldn't before.
Yeah, like you touch the source, and therefore you kind of, to go with the Matrix again, like Neo, after he comes out of the Matrix and he's touched the source, he's able to do it in the real world, whether that suggests that he's still in the Matrix or not. I tend to think about it like that, and also like athletes, you know, people can run to certain degrees. Some people can't because of medical ailments, things like that. Some people are using Bolt.
Just biologically, I could train as much as Usain Bolt. He naturally has. I remember my PE teacher talking about natural twitch fibers and why one of the boys in the class I was in was always going to be able to run faster if he trained hard than the rest of us, because the kid was like a natural athlete, natural runner. So yeah, you could go and train and put in the effort and diet and dial yourself in. If this person does the same, or perhaps even less, they're always going to be better at that thing than you, because naturally that's their gift.
And you kind of have the same, like, even in academic subjects, right? Like, I had a kid in my math class who he took to it like a duck to water. It was insane. Like, he was so good at it. And he made me feel that way in math class. And I think these things are true of all things. It's everyone has the ability, but how well everyone can do it will vary from person to person, depending on a lot of factors like biology, environment, all those kind of things. But if we want to get really out there with the idea, then hybrids. And when I say hybrids, you know, we can go really out there and kind of go that.
That's all the time for this week, folks. Sorry.
You go. Being bred into us. But then there's also the idea that it's a lot more subtle, that, you know, meteors come in here, carry microbes and viruses and things, and that some of us might get a certain virus or, you know, microbe, and therefore grow an ability that other people don't. And you also have like gene mutations. So, you know, I guess a la X-Men, just to throw Marvel in for this one as well.
Yeah.
But genes mutate all the time. Maybe this is what's happening in a certain subset of the population, and it's being bred through or bred out. We don't know, but they're all valid ideas, I think. This is kind of what...
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When anyone talks to Gary Nolan, this is what they ask him, right? Like, is there anything in experiences and people that can do this or have regular experiences that's biologically different from the rest of us? And it seems there is.
Take away the accidental stuff then, that, you know, something comes here from another planet on a small piece of meteorite and you get infected and it changes you, okay? Sounds like a Superman movie or Meteor Man that I genuinely for years thought starred Eddie Murphy but doesn't. I think we had that conversation, Dan, didn't we?
We did.
Oh my God, it wasn't him. Proper blew my mind.
It's a good Mandela effect.
100%. I don't believe in that, but that is a version of it. That is definitely Meteor Man had Eddie Murphy. But say then there is more of a deliberate act to us being here, or a controlled, you know, we're put here by something, we're being watched, cultivated, whatever you want to call it. Is it not dangerous to have us all have this ability? And then is that, I kind of goes back to the whole, is it a real good reason for the secrecy that disclosure would naturally have some of these things come out, and telling the human population as it is now, by the way, you're all psychic soldiers if you want to be, would be absolutely the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, this was the whole thing that kind of came from stuff like Stargate and all those programs, that if everyone in the population can be trained to do this to a certain degree, then secrecy as we know it goes away, and every single government on Earth would hate that. Society is built on privacy. You know, for some, not for others, depends which country you're in. But the question is, who is it a danger for? And it could just be that what we see as this danger to our secrecy and privacy for another species. They don't even have danger as a concept. And so this could just be a way to eventually communicate with them, for them. But for us, it's just this topsy-turvy thing that's going to turn our world upside down if everyone is suddenly a psychic spy.
Yeah, you'd be looking for people who would be selling you the psychic incognito mode or psychic VPN.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry, folks. They won't know what you're thinking or doing. But no, it's a really interesting one, and we could go way, way, way off topic in that one, but we'll keep those for another time. Johnny Lightning says, oh, so this was a conversation, Dan, and I wanted just to pick up on it that happened on YouTube off the back of the breakdown. So mm-hmm. Johnny Lightning, great name. I'm sure it's his real name.
Yeah,
in the beginning,
good.
I can admit I had high hopes, not because I trust Trump, but because I believed Anna Luna wanted the truth for us. I no longer believe that. I think we're all getting lied to in front of our faces. Odd 6554, love YouTube, replied to this saying, it's not the government we are now relying on to tell the truth, but private companies. And then a reply to that from Curly Spikes was, people have misunderstood how politicians operate, making a public fuss about something they personally want to know because they know it may be popular with the public, and the politicians then making the truth public are two separate things. Politicians may want to know about these things, but it doesn't mean they want everyone else to know. So that's the two things I like to talk about, Dan. One, that politicians might want to know themselves, but once they know, they no longer care about the public knowing. But then also that it's no longer the government we need to rely on to tell the truth, but private companies. So take your pick first.
Both very interesting and very provocative. Yes, private companies are, I mean, any private company is in it for profit and for their shareholders. They're not in it to tell the truth to us. That's not the name of the game when it comes to capitalism. Anything and everything that can be used to grow that bottom line will be used to grow that bottom line. You can bank on that, literally, that this is there. We you know, I guess it touches on a conversation we had before that I won't go into, but you know, you can rely on companies to always make the choice that will make them more money. And that's it, no matter what they say.
Except Starbucks, who are out there for the greater good of people, giving them coffee. Small family-run business.
Just don't try to unionize, I guess.
Although I'm still not drinking coffee, by the way. So yeah, I'm
good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, and then politicians want to know but don't care about us. Yeah, probably. But I've also seen that sentiment from people in the community saying, if I was given, you know, if the secret keepers came out to me and said, we'll tell you everything, but you can't say a goddamn thing to anybody. Yeah. I've seen people in the community say they take that deal. Yeah. So I'm not sure that's just politicians. I think that's just people. People are out for themselves. You know, in these days, we're kind of bouncing off the back of philosophers like Nietzsche and people like that. And it's all about the individual in society and what we can do for ourselves. And the arm wrestle there is, now we know that the world is so much more connected through, you know, the Gulf Stream and climate change and how one country's economy affects another. That
I don't think it's the Gulf Stream anymore. They change it to the Gulf of America, but go on.
Nice.
That's a, that's a joke.
We're just more connected than ever, and we're realizing we're more connected than ever. And mostly when I look at the news these days, it seems to be an arm wrestle between the power of the individual and the power of the collective and what's good for each. And it's true of the UFO subject as well. Everybody wants to know, but some people wouldn't give a shit if they knew and no one else did.
Yeah.
And it's going to vary depending on your personality and how you think the world should be.
I'll have to do the really boring caveat of, let's leave politics out of this. But do you think potentially what's happened here, because the Trump administration, Trump himself, came into this with a lot of bluster of, we are going to basically tell everyone the UFO secrets, the JFK stuff, etc., right? And I don't disbelieve that was high on the agenda. I thought Trump Jr. on the podcast with Ross Coulthart and Lou Elizondo actually spoke pretty well about the topic and everything and seemed genuinely curious. Ross Coulthart on Need to Know just a few weeks ago, I was just catching up on some stuff. He was quite disappointed how the rhetoric changed for the Trump administration coming in. and him and Bryce kind of had a chat around that. Do you think, even for someone who is as headstrong as Donald Trump, can go into that same conversation you talked about where you're told all the secrets, or he's told a level of them, and even he can be like, do you know what, I'm better not having this conversation, that this is better kept under wraps. Do you think that is still what happens?
Yeah. You know, we've heard that past presidents, Reagan, I think it was told and just cried on the spot in his office. And I think that's true. Like, we all have our ideals of how we would act, and then we all have how we would actually act in the situation. And I think that's true of somebody like Trump, too. You know, you go into office with a bunch of ideals and a bunch of promises, and then you encounter the reality of, you know, the system, the checks and balances, people that want to have different agendas from you, and those things have to balance out, and it's a real battle. And it's possible that the UFO secret, being kind of possibly the biggest secret in the history of the world, is what's making it take so long here.
Yeah, I think this is, again, I've always said opinions should be malleable and fluid and change. And I think where I'm at with the UFO secrecy is, you mentioned the Titanic earlier, Dan. The Titanic didn't sink because of that little iceberg sticking out the water. The Titanic sunk because of what was underneath the water. And I imagine the secrecy is a lot like that, where you show them the top of the iceberg and go, look, here's the UFO stuff, right? However, if you're going to talk about this, let me just show you what's underneath the water, because some of this stuff will come out as well. And I think it's some of that that makes presidents, premiers, directors of national intelligence, CIA, FBI, all these different folks go, yeah, that's, no, we can't. And you just have to then forgo, I was going to say forgo the tip, because yeah, that's whole other conversation and may get banned on YouTube. It's not OnlyFans. But yeah, I think it's that, Dan, that you literally have the tip of the UFO iceberg is the UFO stuff that we all talk about. It's the dark, murky, underbelly, underwater that is the issue for presidential secrecy and revelations. So yeah, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, like to be specific with what you're saying, we're talking about the things that people have done in the name of keeping the secrecy, or in the name of exploring this subject.
Yes.
Maybe they've dragged people in and put them through experiments and murdered a whole bunch of people. Maybe they've poisoned a bunch of the land. Maybe they've wiped out a whole bunch of species. Maybe so many.
You watch The Boys, yeah?
Yes.
Do you watch Gen Z?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you've watched Gen Z, folks, there is a whole school for gifted children, like training superheroes, basically. Fantastic series, well worth a watch. However, underneath the building is an absolute horror show of experiments and awful things going on to these kids with these powers. And what if it was stuff like that? I've gave a thumbs up on my screen there, but I didn't mean to do that.
I'll show you how to turn that off after we're done.
So you know, you've got the surface level, but then you've got the awful stuff happening underground. Even like, again, Captain America Brave New World, Dan, that story in the background of they've captured this really evil bad guy, but they're using him for certain things, and then he's doing stuff, and there's all this undertone to what's going on in the story. And I just think it makes sense that that's some of the reason why this is kept so secret, and it's not just the UFO stuff.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. That's definitely playing in, and it's not just about the government giving certain secrets to Lockheed Martin and giving them an advantage over another company. There's some real dark stuff under this subject.
What about that then, relying on private companies in what ways? Do you think they're talking about things like Skywatcher there to help out and make a difference?
Yeah, but also, you know, companies like Northrop Grumman and Lockheed and all these private aerospace companies, all of them kind of seem to have a piece of this puzzle, and none of them are going to come willingly to share what they have. Even in the story, you know, we hear of Lockheed being willing to hand over a piece of technology and the CIA shutting that down to Bass or Bigelow. Whenever I read that, I'm just like, yeah, like hell they were. They probably knew exactly what the CIA would do, and they just want to kind of look like they're playing nice so that you don't come for them or tell Congress that they're not playing nice.
Yeah. Yeah. On that, Astrolab made a comment saying, if ET keeps schmoozing with the military and the wealthy, we are, and they've put FCT, which if you read that out as a word, I won't say it too often because the algorithm picks up and bans us. But yeah, so I get there's that little view of this at the moment where people are looking at organizations. Skywatchers on the tip of the tongue right now. And I think they're getting a lot of unfair criticism at the minute too. But, you know, time will tell with that. But they've got backing. It takes money. They've got people. They've got influence. They've got a good start, you know, in this field and what they're trying to do. And I think a lot of people almost don't like the exclusivity of it. And I suppose we talked about the Soul Forum stuff, didn't we? And all that bleeds into it as well. But I get that's if me and you decide, Dan, right now, right, we're going to go start investigating boots on the ground UFOs, just me and you, how far can we actually get with that?
Yeah, we would seriously lack for resources.
Yeah, we're not doing it. Someone says, no, I'd love to give you guys £10,000 to buy some camera equipment. No, no, we're doing it on our own.
I'd say the furthest we could realistically get with something like that would be something like the Tedesco brothers, right? Who have this kitted out RV. And even then, their equipment's really expensive. They've built it over years.
I mean, we'd have the RV and some iPhones, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what could we do?
Yeah.
We'd still need an injection of cash to even kit out an RV, and then to write the scientific papers and put them out into journals that would accept them. That's a whole other uphill battle.
And then you get some footage and you go, actually, if we had this bit of equipment, that would have helped. Okay, we need more money. And that's so... But I think there's an element of these folks have just went in immediately and went, we need the money to start with. We're not going to start with the basics and build up. We want to have, you know, we're going in and making a Hollywood blockbuster for our first movie.
Yeah.
And that rubs some people up the wrong way.
Yeah. And like you say, I think in some ways the harsh criticism is unwarranted because, you know, give them a chance. Like if I was doing something like this, I would be arguing for you to give me a chance. And anyone would. Yeah, if I ever win the lottery, then, you know, I'll try and do something on my own like this, but I doubt I'll get as far.
Do you play the lottery?
I don't, which is the first problem.
Yeah, that's I used to always have that as well, going, I'd love to win the lottery one day. Then you go, don't buy tickets. I did recently, however, sign up to the postcode lottery.
Hey, okay. Yeah, got to play it to win it. It's just marketing. What have you done?
Someone was driving by singing Tears Dry on Their Own by Amy Winehouse really loud out of their car. Apologies if anyone picked that up, folks. Yeah. I could be professional and remove it, but I won't. On that, Dan, here's one I think might be right up your street. Jay McBee is what I'm going to say the name is because that's what it looked like. Maybe JMCB. During your comments regarding Skywatcher summoning something unknown, imagine it could be an AI that does not need physical form from a type 3 or more civilization on the Kardashev scale. That could be very unpredictable. Dan, and for those unfamiliar, I'm just going to, off the top of my head, let you know the Kardashev scale is a method of measuring a civilization's level of technological advancement based on the amount of energy it's capable of harnessing and using. Everyone knows here, folks, a type 1 civilization is able to access all energy available on its planet and store it for consumption. Again, off the top of my head here, Dan, type 2 civilization can directly consume a star's energy, most likely through the use of a Dyson sphere. And type 3 is able to capture all the energy emitted by its galaxy and every object within it, such as every star, black hole, etc. But listen, I'm telling you all really obvious stuff here, so that was completely off the top of my head, just closing Wikipedia.
I think that means we're at like 0.456, somewhere around there. You know, we haven't even reached type 1 yet, because we're not tapping our planet well enough. I read somewhere once that if you were a type 3 civilization, then your population would have boomed so much to the point where everybody that has a kind of interest could have a planet for themselves. So you could have just a Marvel planet or a Taylor Swift planet, and it would just be full of fans of that thing. That sounds horrific to me.
God, a Taylor Swift planet.
Justin Bieber planet, Kanye West planet. Like, it just... if you had to be horrible.
If you had to pick a Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, or Kanye West planet, which one would you live on?
Oh God, I'm going for the Taylor Swift planet because she works with Jack Antonoff and he's great. So
nah, you've lost me. You've lost me.
Interact. Who would you pick?
On that, I don't think you're allowed to say Kanye anymore because I think it gives you certain, you know, you get labelled a racist. But it'd be unpredictable. Bieber's a bit depressing. Taylor Swift's quite bland and vanilla, you know, meh. Can I just say Kanye's planet? I don't have to align with all these morals. I think the guy has genuine issues, so...
I guess that's the assumed thing. You'd have to be a fan to go to one of these planets from, you know...
Of all three of those, I listen to more of Kanye West music than the other two.
You go to Kanye's planet?
Like, yeah, probably have to.
That's going to be a controversial one. Let us know in the comments.
Oh, why is my YouTube channel banned? Oh, yeah, okay. Stronger's a great tune. See, like, that stuff back then. But anyway, so what's your thought on that, though, that, you know, we're summoning, like, an AI that doesn't need a physical form?
I mean, maybe. You know, like, if we can become advanced enough,
Maybe. Is Dan saying no, but being polite?
It's not a no. It's a possibility in the same way as anything is a possibility.
I'm not going to shut my ass the girl out and what she said back. It's not a no, Andy. Don't take it as a no. It's not. You know, there's always a possibility.
And you responded with that classic, Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Yep. Yeah, more like one in a million. Bang.
I mean, it's completely reasonable that in the future, our technology will progress to a point where we could just have non-physical, i.e., you know, energy pockets that we kind of use for computing, for transport, for things like that. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that a Type 3 civilization could use something like that. I just don't have proof that that's what it is. I would just add it to the list of maybe.
Do you think there's a limit to what we would be of interest to then? So we talk about entities or beings coming here to visit from different planets, galaxies, different dimensions, whatever it may be. But you know when folks say then you get to like godlike beings, god, you know, god mode, would they even have an interest in us? Like, they'd be so beyond that. Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, it depends. You know, The highest being that we know of currently is a human being, you know, with our awareness and intelligence.
Speak for yourself.
We're not the top of the food chain, you know, massive assumptions kind of going on there. But we still look at things like ants and microbes and things like that that are, you know, quite literally beneath us, not in the kind of moral sense, but in the, you know, literal sense. You know, we look at ecosystems and fish and plankton and all those kind of things. So I'd like to think that there would still be some of those beings that would interact with us, just not all of them, because not everybody gives a shit about ant farms, right? And how ants kind of go about their day. But some people really care about that stuff. So I like to think that there would still be some interest in us.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But maybe that's why we only kind of get certain types of UFOs here. Because if all these things have different forms and different ways of presenting themselves, you know, we consistently have, I know we have like a lot of different shapes, but it's under 100
different shapes.
Yeah,
imagine it was a really
shapes,
crap,
you know?
And boring, bland range of them here. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, only getting one TV channel, but thinking that is the best thing in the world because it's the TV channel. And then you find out your friend's got like 100 TV channels and it's like, oh my God, look at the choice.
Yeah, right. But what happens if we go to another planet, meet another species, and they have 500,000 different types of UFOs that show up, and they're like, oh, no, actually, you know, it's all one thing, but it's like the variation in human faces. You're all the same thing, but you all look different. Could be like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Final question, Dan. Graham, I don't think it was Rendell. Graham sent in a few questions. So what I'm going to do is ask you a couple, and I'm going to save a couple, and we'll put that out to just the paid feeds for a little bit extra. Sure. But there's some interesting conversation here, folks, and a little bit of light relief to finish on here in these troubling times for everyone. So Graham titled his questions. I like it. So the title of the questions are, what do aliens do all day? So I am going to ask you, so they're kind of split up into two sections, Dan. So what I've got, and you can pick what we answer on the free feed, right? The first two are about what aliens actually do on a mundane day-to-day basis, potentially. Or there's like a set of, are we used for food? Betty and Barney Hill question around trade lines and stuff like that.
Let's save what do they do all day for the paid feeds.
Yeah.
Just because that's going to be more speculation. And
absolutely.
And, yeah.
As opposed to this question then, Dan. Okay, so so Graham titled this some
I knew
wood
that
thought.
Was going to bite me in the ass.
Yep. Listen, it would have went either way. I'm not going to lie. So are humans from one-way abductions used as slaves? Oh, so if someone's abducted and not returned, do you know, I couldn't work out, like, did he mean that we are brought here from somewhere else, like, you know, back when they made Australia, where we dumped loads of prisoners in Australia?
Sure.
And like that was how Australia got, no, I'm high to the third biggest audience of the podcast, the Australians. But
g'day.
Like, yeah, not anymore. I wonder, did all he mean right, that? But no, what he means is, if someone's abducted and not returned, are they used as slaves on another planet, potentially? Do you think
quite possibly, and I mean the definition of slave.
Well, let's not go there.
It depends what they use for, right? Anything against their will, I would put into that box. If they're being used for experiments, they're a slave of experiments. If they're being used for manual labor, they're a slave for manual labor. Yeah. So I'd say there's a whole bunch of different scenarios that could end up being labeled slave. So unless they did it willingly, then they would be a slave for something. And I'm not all that convinced that anyone would be there willingly. You know, if you were to take someone to another planet, say like 100 light years away,
yeah,
and you're surrounded by strange creatures and in that environment, and they say, look, it's your choice, we'll take you back, but you know, do you mind staying here and doing XYZ? I, for one, would feel pretty pressured to say, I'll stay here, I guess. I feel like, you know, you're gonna eat me or something if I say no. I can't really say no.
I'm going to say no to that one just because it seems a really inefficient way to collect slaves rather than, you know, one at a time. Just seems like you know, when I asked
well,
my little...
I mean, you could breed. You could just get two and breed them, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not even going to go into that, actually. I wouldn't even go into that.
I'm thinking of a lot of Futurama episodes.
Yes, yeah, potentially you could. It just seems more, nah, it would have to be a very exclusive purpose. So nah, that's a no from me.
Let me just try and put an angle on it. Like, would you say, so if you went to, say, SeaWorld in America, yeah, and you saw a whale in a tank, mm-hmm, would you think of that whale as a slave for entertainment purposes?
I mean, yeah.
Porpoises.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, right. So, and we don't take that many. Like, we take a lot, but we don't take that many. So, you know, you wouldn't need all that many to do it.
Huh? Yeah. So kind of like, well, it's okay then because it's such small numbers. We're only taking a few of you. Like.
Yeah, exactly. And some people, you know, get brought back. Whatever reason, gammy legs and stuff, I guess.
Gammy legs.
would you feel rejected?
Gammy legs. Some people, I imagine many of the American listeners might have to look that one up. Go look it up. Use incognito mode. question two, are humans used as food for reptilians or mantids? I'll start with this one, Dan. The mantids always seem to be quite friendly, do they not? Like, quite intelligent. I might just be not too well researched on this, but most of the mantid stories I see or hear, they tend to be almost like doctors or performing some kind of operation, or, you know, so there's like a skill level there rather than we are taking you for food.
reptilians go a bit either way for me, but mantids come up quite a lot. Mantids are one I would have always thought was nonsense, I think, maybe when I started the podcast, but more and more I've heard enough that I go, no, do you know what? I get it. Like, there's a lot of stories about that kind of stuff out there. I don't think we're used as food for anything there. Not that we couldn't be. I mean, there's humans use humans as food, so, you know.
Yeah, some of us are really into it, I guess. Like maybe we're a delicacy.
Remember when Findus crispy pancakes were... Oh, no, turns out it was horse. Like,
oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I tried to black that out, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's childhoods in the UK were ruined in one swift fell swoop by the media. But yeah, so what do you think of that whole thing about humans used as food?
I mean, I agree with you. Mantids seem to be quite pleasant. You know, my favorite story about a mantid is, I forget the guy's name, but he was just fishing in a river in the US, turned to his left, and there was just this giant mantis thing there that was just as shocked to see him as he was shocked to see the mantid.
Was it fishing too? Like in a boat?
It was, yeah. It was just like there. Not in a boat. They were stood in a river, you know, up to the ankles kind of thing. Or knees, I would guess. Otherwise,
I'm imagining a mantis with waders and everything like as well, like the hat.
It's probably that absurd, right? You know, some UFO encounters have things like the Michelin tire guy and stuff like that. So there's definitely an absurdity to this.
I could see that making a great 2000s beer commercial, where you see like a human fishing in the pond and then like the mantis, and the human turns around and goes, what the? But then the human beams away and the mantis goes, oh my God, and then goes home, but you're actually on the mantis's planet. And then that'd the mantis cracks open like a Coors Light or something, or a Budweiser, you know, and it's like, honey, you'll never guess what happened to me today. Budweiser. I don't know, something like that.
And that you could do a series of them that then you 100%. Find out the wife's being abducted by another species. That's it. You know, just keep going. It'd be great.
Yeah. Sorry, that's where my brain works with these things, folks. But yeah, if you've lasted long, you're here till the end anyway. So well done, folks. So.
Yeah, the mantid seem kind. But then there's the aspect of, you know, that Twilight Zone episode of where the aliens come and they're very kind. And then they give us a cookbook. And it turns out that the cookbook is to cook us, and they were fattening us up type thing. So, you know, there could be that aspect to it. The reptilians are always said to be quite mean, but I'm very aware that could be propaganda from the mantids, I guess, maybe, and the reptilians are the nice ones. I don't know, it's just speculation. But yeah, the reptilians seem mean, mantids seem nice. I hear the greys are really stingy with their cash or something. I'd love to know the characteristics of all these different species, like what they're known for. But whether we're used as food, I don't think so. Just because
if the grey's not really into BDSM, that's 50 Shades. Totally different thing. Sorry.
I mean, that's a great name for an alien film, right?
Now I need someone. Now I need someone who's good with AI to recreate the 50 Shades of Grey trailer, but instead of the Christian Grey dude or whatever his name is, put a grey being in and just like a really like erotic thriller. Yeah, Skinny Bob in the 50 Shades of Grey trailer, basically.
I'm not going to lie, I'd watch that movie. It'd be hilarious.
Now Bruckheimer and Spielberg's movies have no chance of entertaining me, because I'm going to go, where are the greys in their BDSM? This is just absolute nonsense. Sorry, folks. And then the last one was Betty Hill, in 1961 New Hampshire abduction, related a map of what was proposed to be Zeta Reticuli, and it had lines going Zeta 1 and 2. She was told there were trade lines. What would aliens trade? Again, you would go past like aliens needing to trade, but then why wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would all depend on territories. And, you know, if you say something, I think of Robin Hanson, who you spoke to before, who was talking about grabby aliens and how far kind of civilizations can expand outwards. If certain resources were only in your neck of the woods, like say, for example, you know, Earth has a lot of water. So maybe we'd be a good point for water. It's more readily available in the kind of liquid form. Maybe that's advantageous for something, and it's not the case elsewhere in the universe where another civilization is. Maybe they trade for that water. And then you think of stuff like iron and all the elements that we haven't discovered yet. So maybe they're just only available in certain pockets near certain types of stars or whatever. So the trade could be based on that. Also, technology between different species, maybe they have different levels of advancement and stuff like that. But also, maybe they trade us as slaves.
I was going to say they literally trade human body parts, human organs. I would have to be like minerals, like materials, raw materials. Our planet has this, your planet has that. I would look at that as being a relatively low level technology alien still, though. You know, like, I imagine once we are able to properly traverse the between planets easily, we will need like trade. We will have, you know, if we set up a colony on Mars in the next, which I think we will in the next 10, 15 years, right? There's going to have to be regular back and forward taking stuff there. But then they may go to Mars and discover, shit, there's a lot of gold under this planet. Do you know that? Oh, well, send that back to us. And then you get back. And then one day we're at war with Mars and it's our own people because, you know, we want their gold. And they're like, ah, your water.
You've pretty much just laid out the opening of the expanse here.
Oh, have I?
And you also have like the asteroid belt where stuff has to be mined to kind of feed and give food, water to the colonies and stuff. And so there's this whole interplanetary trade thing going on. And in the middle of that, an alien substance kind of gets dropped on a meteor. Hijinks ensue. And yeah, the tech advanced stuff, I do wonder if when species are so advanced that they can kind of make, you know, in Star Trek, they just kind of have, and other sci-fi movies, I think, what was it? The Fifth Element, where they just put like liquid in a bowl and press a button and it turns into like chicken salad, like this glorious thing, that they'd be able to do stuff like that. So you wonder how advanced would you have to be to have something like that? Maybe they're better at building ships than they are at making stuff like that, yeah. Because that's all about, you know, ending world hunger and stuff like that. But also the very idea of there being trade means that they'd need to be trade bodies. They'd need to be kind of organizations of some sort that
proper Star Wars trade federation.
Yeah. And they're all very like human concepts, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it might be that they're out there, but they're very human concepts. So I wonder what it would actually look like for another species, if they would have that or not.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we will leave it there for everyone on the free feeds. If you want to sign up, support the podcast on any platform, Patreon and Apple have free trials. You'll hear a little bit more of myself and Dan talking about some stuff slightly related. Not for too long, though, because it's got really windy where I am and the shed is literally shaking and it's either dust or asbestos falling down, so I'm not sure. what we'll do is we'll call it there. If you want any questions answered on the next show, folks, people say you like these conversations and discussions, send in a load of random questions. They can be anything at all. I'll bank them and then we'll use them on shows. Just email over the links in the description, but it's ufouapam@gmail.com. It would be much appreciated. So Dan, thank you.
Thank you for having me. And especially to Graham for those last few wonderful questions. I had fun with those.
Well, you've got another few from Graham coming up right now. Speak to you soon, folks, unless you're one of the nice guys or girls who pay. So thank you. That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary.
necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.